thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, of course.
Today we're talking about film school,
which I love film school.
I was in. You're currently in.
True.
You didn't start out doing film school, though, did you?
No, I didn't. So, originally, when I applied for University of Iowa, I applied as an English and psychology double major. And then, like, right at the last second, I did theater and psychology. So, I actually took a theater class my first semester. Hated it. New people in my theater class were film majors, went to their classes, liked their classes much more, and now here I am.
Great. And what exactly were you expecting out of film school when you decided to start?
So the class that I ended up kind of tagging along to was just like an introductory film analysis class. So, I mean, that's basically what I was expecting. I was kind of like, oh, I get to sit around and pick apart films all day. I like to do this anyway. I might as well get college credit for it.
And then what exactly are you hoping to get out of it?
Well, the cool thing about film school for me is, I've at least had the experience of getting to, learn a bit more about the equipment involved, and get a little bit more practical experience. I know you don't quite have that same experience, with film school, but as someone coming into it who had never really filmed anything or hadn't ever, like, thought that I could be a filmmaker up until now, it's been really nice to actually be able to work with equipment and feel like I could be a filmmaker. And so what I want to get out of it, I guess, is kind of like the ability to make my own films and like kind of be a filmmaker.
I did feel a lot of it was repetition when I went, just because I'd used some stuff already before.
Right.
And it was a lot of the philosophy of more like art school to me, where they're like, You just gotta dream it, you know, and you gotta think, you know. You can't just construct the narrative. We gotta get experimental and break it down. What's it mean to be a film? And I'm like, I just want to know how to work this specific kind of camera, because I haven't used that kind before. Or like, oh, this audio setup's a little weird. What's that about? And they're like, nah, just feel it.
Yeah, I was really experimental, which is cool if you're into experimental filmmaking, and I imagine it's a lot more useful of an environment as, like, a grad student, because I hear the grad program is actually, like, really good to go through. but I think, yeah, it can be a little difficult if you're just trying to further your skills as a technical filmmaker to keep being put in these classes where they make you do, like, every aspect of the filmmaking process, and they make you kind of mix the technical and creative so much that you don't get to work on your technical side.
That's true. And I did take one that was more technical oriented, and I did like that a lot.
That was image design, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Image design, lights and cameras, everything, including the action. It was crazy. So you're here to make movies, talk about movies. Mm-hmm. What kind of movies are you hoping to make?
I really don't know. Like, the thought of me being able to make films is really new to me. I've primarily been a fiction writer my entire life. And then I got to college and realized I'm not amazing at that, and I have no interest in getting better at it. And I've found out I'm a little bit better at, like, screenwriting, and I'm better at also, like, directing, and just kind of building, like, a visual storyline instead of like writing it down. So I don't really know. you know that I've made one short film. You helped with it. You've seen it. You know that I currently hate it. So I guess I'd like to make films that are not like that. I really want to, I think, stay away from melodrama. I would rather make something that's, like, lighthearted and something that's, like, clever and funny, I think, than keep making things that are melodramatic and, like, emotionally taxing for literally everyone involved.
You did make the kind of thing that a lot of people enjoy, though. I don't always love the more dramatic stuff myself, but, you know, it's the kind of stuff a lot of people like, and you even occasionally like watching such things, I've noticed, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I feel those are more like, if I get into melodrama, it's in the format of, it's like mixing genres. You know, like, Buffy can be very melodramatic, but that's fine because it's also fantasy and horror and a little sci-fi, and there's some romance in there, and there's a lot of comedy in there. What I made was a little lighthearted at the beginning, and then you just kind of want to go off and die at the end.
Do you feel there's something in the creation process that always leaves people a little unsatisfied, though? I've noticed hearing people talk about their things, it's not always with love.
Yeah, I think there are a couple things to that. Like, I think we're kind of taught to hate our art, you know? We're kind of taught to hate what we create, because otherwise we won't get better, is, I think, the thought behind that. Like, if you love what you're doing, you're not going to try and make it better. But yeah, I also think, like, in the process, you start off with this, like, amazing image in your head of this thing that you want to make, this thing you kind of want to, like, bring to life. And then you get to, like, the editing room and you realize, like, that you're never going to be able to, like, take your initial vision and physicalize that. So I think a lot of it might come from that disappointment of not being able to actually produce something that you visualized in your head exactly.
That's a fair point. So, going back a bit, what kind of either films or filmmakers or maybe both would you say have inspired you in your pursuit of film?
So this is an interesting question, because both filmmakers that really at least have, like, intrigued me, if not, like, really inspired me, are filmmakers that I currently kind of take issue with morally. But I won't really get into that too much because it doesn't quite pertain to the effect they've had on my, like, creative process. Like, it's unfortunate, but at the same time, like, I'm here, like, where I am because of it. Joss Whedon is a big one, because his writing is amazing. He's a really good writer, and what he did with Buffy was amazing. And honestly, I think Buffy has been the biggest influence on my filmmaking all around. It was what I looked at and practiced with when I was learning the screenwriting format. It's what I looked to for how to model my dialogue. The way it was shot, I kind of look at for, like to guide how I want to shoot something. The short film I did make, even from, like, the very beginning, first crappy, like, draft of a screenplay was inspired in part by one episode, and then the way I ended up shooting it and producing it was inspired by a completely different episode of Buffy. So kind of just, like, who I am as a filmmaker, and, like, who I try to be is really influenced by, like, Buffy as a whole. And I don't want to completely credit Joss Whedon with that, because, like, a bunch of creative people went into that and made all these decisions. But a lot of the time, like, yeah, he was the director, he was the writer. So I kind of end up being inspired and influenced by him. For a while, I don't know, I was... really into the aesthetic of Tim Burton, but, like, who isn't? And I think I still kind of am, and I think if I was a better filmmaker, that would show in my work a little more. If I had the, like, ability to get my shit together enough to have an aesthetic, like, I think Tim Burton's films and their influence on me would kind of show through more.
So I could see that, and maybe at least a lot of the stuff you like to watch, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you plan to do after college, just to be like everyone's mom?
Ugh. I mean, I've been having to think about that, because I'm going to, like, my second to last semester, which is exciting and scary and awful and amazing. But I don't know. I've kind of just kind of resigned myself to having just like a pretty menial job and like being creative around that. Like I've kind of come to terms with the fact that like my creative passion is not going to pay the bills right away. So I'm going to have to kind of pay my dues in the realm of menial work and just do my writing on the weekends, do my writing after work, before work. I would like to kind of work in an arts setting. It could be cool to kind of work within, like, even an arts venue or just, I don't know, anything like that. It'd be cool to, like, work in, like, still an artistic environment, but right now I've kind of prepared myself to be working as, like, a shift supervisor and, like, writing screenplays on the weekends and just constantly trying to get my work out there.
Whenever I talk to people, I always bring it up as a punchline that I went to film school.
Oh, yeah.
If they're asking about how my career's going, or, you know, I'm at least not waiting tables, I guess is the point
true.
I bring up, having gone to film school.
I'm like a step above waiting tables, so I really can't say much.
That
you
barista
have
life.
Actual jobs in your field.
Vaguely.
I mean, but, like, you literally work with cameras every day. And you are filming things and you're editing things. And, like, it might not be as creative as you might have imagined or as you would want, knowing you. But, like, you're still working within the field. Whereas I am making coffee for people and might be making coffee for people, like, 10 years down the road.
I was gonna say, I do have that piece of paper just hanging on my wall right now that says I've watched some movies.
That's true. You've written about some movies, too. That's what
that means.
That's
true.
You watched them, and you wrote about them, and then you tried to make one yourself. That's what that piece of paper means.
Yep, they gave me that piece of paper, kicked me out the door. Here I am.
Here you are. You act like you don't have... Like, explain what you do. 'Cause I think it's really cool, and you tend to act like it's not that cool. So, like, explain the things that you do.
Well, I think a big part of it is because I've had to piece together a working life out of several jobs.
Right.
To fill my time. I work with a news station about half hour from here. I do, like, sports video for, like, a lot of high schools, occasionally some of the smaller colleges. Do stuff like that, some community events for them. Then I work for another small town as my technical title, communications assistant. Yeah, I assist in communications by mostly recording meetings and putting together little videos. And yeah, I also do some photography on the side, which I hate to say might be the most lucrative thing I do.
I mean,
there's not a lot of specific gigs, but, like,
yeah.
Per gig,
it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
No. I guess, like, my point is you are a much more technical filmmaker than I am. I'm much more on the creative side where I'm like, yeah, I'd like to write and direct. And I currently have trouble seeing myself, like, being able to, like, work on film sets. Because I just, with the way my life works, I don't know if I would have, like, access to that. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to get there because I don't drive. And, like, I'd have to move out to, like, another town where I would probably need to have another job to actually pay for where I live. And so, like, and I definitely can't do what you do because I haven't handled cameras as long as you have. And I would have a harder time getting hired than you have had. So I guess I'm just kind of resigned to having to stew in my creativity and get coffee for people for years. Whereas, like, I think it's really cool that you, even though you might not have been, like, super stoked about film school and its help or lack thereof with your technical abilities, like, you still are, like, working in the field, and you're working with cameras, and you're, like, getting better, and you're learning more about camera movement and sound and lighting and all that stuff. Like, I think you're in a good place, and I envy you being able to be there.
Well, I try. It's a process.
Yeah.
It's long, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, hosting a film podcast, that's how you really break in.
That's true.
Yeah, do you feel, besides these other more like lifestyle issues, do you feel film school's preparing you for the kind of film set life?
So, in general, no. But with one class specifically, yes. And I was cracking up the entire time in this class, like all semester. Because this class basically, like, fixed all the problems you had with University of Iowa's film school. Like, it was... every week we were talking about a different aspect of the industry. Our instructor, Kelly, was amazing. She's worked on a bunch of film sets. She has a bunch of friends who work in the film industry. She's, like, an independent filmmaker herself. She has a lot of friends who are independent filmmakers. So we did a lot of talking about, like, the different areas of the industry, how to get from here to here. We did a lot of hands-on work with equipment, like lighting setups and sound setups, camera setups. We even did, like, a green screen workshop towards the end of the semester. She made sure to give us, like, a bunch of time to work on our final project. And she did kind of still make us go through all the steps of it, but I think her reasoning is the best that I've seen, which is, like, you don't quite know what you're going to be doing in the film industry, because you don't get to just be a director, you don't get to just be a cinematographer, like, you have to be prepared to know all of the stuff, especially if you're going to be, like, independent, you gotta know how to pitch your own stuff. And you gotta know, like, how a script works and what to do with it and how to talk about it. And I think it's helpful to know how to write a script and how to write a script that, like, makes sense and how to deal with plot. 'Cause no matter what you're doing with film, like, I think understanding how storytelling works is invaluable. So I think Kelly's class really prepared me. And I think it's Kelly's class that has made me so hesitant to kind of jump in to the film industry and, like, try and work on sets, because I feel like I'm severely underqualified for it. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I guess I'll say what the class was. It was a fiction filmmaking class, and I think that was helpful. The fact that it was specifically about fiction filmmaking. Because I remember you and I had a class that was the opposite of helpful, which was, like, what was it even called? It was, like, because it was alternative forms. And yeah. It had the dumbass subtitle 8x1, which originally meant 8 short films or short pieces in one semester. And then those short pieces included things like GIFs and...
GIFs?
Oh my fucking
God. I don't know. Yeah. I don't care.
Oh my God. Jason was so weird about that. He was like, oh guys, I don't want us to get into a big thing. And I'm like, oh my God, just give us the assignment already. But yeah, that class ended up being super experimental. And I know you weren't happy about that. And I wasn't too happy about that as someone who just really wanted to learn how to make film. I was like, oh good, I know how to make a GIF, and I guess I kind of know Photoshop, even though I did all my projects in just the video editor in the Adobe suite and not in Photoshop.
Yeah, there was a lot of presumption that we should already know Photoshop. And
yeah.
I guess my big problem is I wouldn't mind the more experimental aspect if it wasn't, and I'll get into the complainy millennial thing, if I wasn't giving them all of my money to sit around and wax poetic on film.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I want to touch the equipment that I'm paying for you guys to get to own.
Yeah, exactly.
That might be nice.
Yeah. I don't know. It weirds me out, what you said, like, how presumptuous they are. That if you're coming into, like, film school, you have some prior knowledge. Because, like, it's the only college-level film school in Iowa, I think.
I think the private colleges are experimenting a little with some classes, but I don't think there's full-blown programs.
Yeah, but we are, like, the only film program in the state. So you would think, at an institution that gets a lot of in-state students... when you have a film program that's the only one in the state, you might assume that maybe all your students might not know how to use expensive, sophisticated film editing software. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's weird to me. It's like, it's cool that you guys know how to do this as the instructors. That's what I expect. But, like, teach me how to do it. So that I don't look like a dumbass for the rest of my life.
It was a lot of teach yourself. And I don't mean to complain. Iowa is one of the top schools for, like, film theory and film studies.
And I think that's where the issue is.
Yeah, like, that might be it.
Is like, it's a really experimental theory, like, theoretical school. And it's not that you don't get a chance to work hands-on. It's just, it depends on the professor or the instructor. And there's a lot of turnover with instructors.
True.
There are so many grad students that, like, circle in and out, and then professors kind of jump around to different classes sometimes. So it's not like you know what you're getting into just because you see a class with a title that you like. You could just get fucked, depending on who the instructor is.
Yeah, and I don't mean to complain so much. I had a nice time there. I think I've just grown cynical with the job searches and mostly the job searches. Yeah, and the expectations.
Yeah,
being different for different places. The news stations all wanting me to have a journalism degree instead of a video production degree might be one, and then other places saying how journalism degrees are garbage. Basically, again, this is the Millennials Complaining Hour, brought to you by 2 20-some-year-olds.
Exactly. I will say, I'm really excited for a class I have coming up this semester, which I think you would have loved, and I'm sad that you didn't get a chance to take it. So it's another productions class, but it's... How do I explain it? So, like... There's a local film festival in Iowa City, commonly known as ICDOCS, Iowa City Documentary Film Festival, and it's, I don't know if it's always been run by students, but it at least is now being run by students annually. And so what you do is you sign up for the class, and you learn how a film festival works, and you kind of learn about documentary films. And I think we each have to individually produce a documentary. Like a short documentary. Either that or the whole class does, which I am less of a fan of. Because, like, I don't want to produce some bullshit that some random person in my class is interested in. I don't want to do that. And I also don't want to do some, like, cheesy documentary on Iowa City. I'd rather do something, like, that I'm interested in. But anyway, I'm excited for that. Because, like, I've kind of worked with a film festival in the past. And I'm excited to kind of get into that more. And I'm excited to think that that might make my job prospects better. If people are like, oh, you've volunteered for and judged for and helped, like, curate a film festival. That's great. Come help us. Come get paid money.
I will say the film festival volunteering has done nothing for my resume. Yeah. But I don't mean to cynically burst bubbles.
Maybe but have it's you judged a film festival?
I guess not. I hosted a screening room. I operated the projector.
Those are useless skills.
Man. Apparently.
Public speaking and using technology are useless.
That's all I've learned from job interviews. So, I guess, are there any solid lessons you think that one should get out of film school?
I think the lesson, you should leave with, if you're interested in going to film school, so that you can learn how to make films, so you can build a career making films, the number one lesson you should learn is never stop making films. Or never stop writing screenplays. Or never stop editing. Or never stop doing this, this, or this. Like, don't stop doing what you want to do. Like, that's been pounded into my head. Like, if you want to be in this field, you have to have material to show people. And if you don't have material to show people, you're never gonna go anywhere. It's like that first and foremost. Like, keep creating material. And even if it's not good, you're at least practicing. Yeah, keep making shit. Because even if you're literally making shit and it's really bad, at least you're practicing your art and you're getting better at it. I think the second, like another thing that you should get out of film school is it's okay to not be good at everything. And it's not okay to be good or it's okay to not be good at everything. And it's okay to, like, not be good at something right away. And that was, like, really hard for me because I've been a writer my entire life. And I came to film school, something I'd never done before. And I kind of had to get good at it quick. I kind of had to catch up, and it was really frustrating not knowing as much and not being as good as people, like, right away. And it was also kind of frustrating not being good at everything. I love being good at everything. It's my whole shtick. It's me as a person. But I think it's really important to learn, like, you're there to learn, and, like, if you don't come away from film school with that, like, you're gonna have a really hard time, because you're never gonna stop learning, and there are gonna be things that you're never gonna be good at. You just need to find those things that you are good at, and, like, really dig into those, and just keep working to, like, perfect that.
You sound like a principal at, like, an inner-city high school trying really hard to connect to these children.
I thought I just sounded generally relatable. I'm sorry.
I'm dismissing. Yeah.
We'll cut that later.
I don't think you're in charge of that. You're not in charge of what gets cut later.
All right.
Did they teach you how to wrap cable?
You know, Kelly did. And I fucked it up right after she taught me. And then this other girl in my class was like, she literally just told us how to do this. And I was like, it's almost finals week? I hate myself and I haven't slept. I'm not eating. So if you'd like to figure out how to wrap this cable, do it. So I don't know how to wrap cable. Like, I know there's a specific way to do it. And I know why you're supposed to do it that way. And I know what the end result is supposed to be. But for some reason I can't get that. Like, it just,
according to several people that work at the news station, when they went to school, they were required to be able to do it five times in a row, like wrap hundreds of foot of a cable, like 5 times in a row before they were allowed to touch any equipment.
That's probably a smart prerequisite to have.
It probably is. I've had to learn how to do it. I was shown once, again, in film school. I was shown once, and then it never was brought up again.
Yeah, I feel like there's not enough emphasis on, like, how to treat the equipment well. Like, the most we get is, oh, guys, don't break anything. Or, let me know if something happens. Like, no one's like, okay, so don't fuck with shit. Like, no one's like that. Everyone's like, oh, kids, be careful.
That's true.
I feel like there needs to be more, among other things, there needs to be more emphasis on how to treat the equipment and what to do with the equipment and how to make sure the equipment has a nice life.
What kind of tape's the best tape?
Gaffer tape.
See? You've learned something.
Yeah, that's what I've also learned that you can't put gels on lights that don't have barn doors.
I mean, you can if you, like, really...
You can...
rig it terribly.
Yeah, but see, I didn't even do that. I, like, just kind of stuck it on a light and burned a hole through a gel.
They get hot.
I know, and I set it on fire. Yeah, like, Tim, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Hopefully you've already let me have a job in the equipment checkout, so...
Tim's not listening.
I hope not. Tim hates you. Why would he be listening?
That's true. No, the thing you do is you get some black foil and you build barn doors by just crimping it on.
I've seen you do it. Yes. I'm familiar.
You gotta wear gloves or your poor little fingers.
I don't think I had gloves either. You saw the end product of what I'm referring to. This was my final project in alternative forms.
Oh.
I just was trying to use some gels, and it didn't work, and I was like, oh, look, that's on fire.
One time, I think you were here for this. The audience, they weren't here for this.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, that'd be weird. I had to take a bulb, because it was smoking, out of a light. And it started burning a hole through my glove, at which point I dropped it on my couch, which now has a nice little scorch mark in it. So filmmaking can be dangerous. That's another lesson.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, definitely. If you don't come out of film school knowing that filmmaking is fucking dangerous, you're gonna die. You're actually gonna die, because you're gonna mess something up and you're not gonna come back from it. Like, you're gonna do some shit with a light setup. That you shouldn't, like, you're gonna move a light while it's on, or you're gonna trip over a light that you haven't sandbagged, or you're gonna get shot out of a cannon for a special effect because they know you're dumb and you're gonna die.
I know a guy who was putting up a 10,000 watt light.
Yeah.
Just to light up the whole of outside. It was daytime instead of nighttime now for the whole state from this one light.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was putting it up, they turned it on, and he happened to accidentally look at it, and he just saw the imprint of that light for about a year, I think he said, just in his vision, constantly.
See, that's what happens. That's what happens when you fuck around. I think Kelly actually did a really good job with lighting safety, which was weird, because that was her big thing, was like, here's how to be around lights safely. And she would go into a panic if we were not doing it right, which I think is fair with lights, because it's glass and heat, and it's hard to come back from glass and heat, injury-wise.
They sometimes like to explode.
Yeah.
Oftentimes for no reason.
Yeah, the people in my class kind of like to just keep the lights on, which was frustrating when I was, like, directing an in-class project, and I knew that it was dangerous to keep lights on, and no one else seemed to care. And then they'd start smoking, and I'd be like, hey, are we close to, like, shooting? And someone'd be like, yeah, we're gonna start in, like, a minute. I'm like, guys, you wanna, like, turn the lights off? They're like, no, we're gonna be shooting soon, it's fine. It's like, okay, cool, I guess we'll just all die.
Well, that's the thing with the big lights, is when you get some dust or, like, a single hair... That it gets hot. That stuff will catch on fire. And then, if you're not careful and you're not wearing gloves, when you're touching the bulbs, your skin oils just make it bubble.
Yeah.
This glass, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's a dangerous place, film. But we love it, because for some reason it makes us feel better about being broke and eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at the age of 21.
Living the dream. Alright, so it's been nice talking with you about film school. When we come back, we're gonna read some reviews and just have a good old time. Alright, next, we're going on to Rotten Reviews.
Rotten Reviews?
Rotten Reviews.
Beautiful.
There's not a good film school movie, so I don't have a theme with this review.
Right.
But, you know, I picked a rotten movie either way.
Okay.
We'll be reading reviews today for Suicide Squad.
Dude. Oh, I fucking hate Suicide Squad. I'm so excited.
I think I like it more than some, but I'm not the big fan, as it were, that you get occasionally of the people who really dig it. I'm a sucker for the aesthetics occasionally.
The aesthetics weren't good enough to me to, like, forgive all of the other bullshit that was happening.
That's fair. I'm also a sucker for Will Smith.
I'm not as much. No, I'm like, I mean, Will Smith is cool, but, like, be in better stuff. Do better, Will Smith. Do better. Fifth lesson of film school.
Yeah. Alright, so if you want to get over here, you can read some of these reviews for everyone to be entertained by.
Okay. So, let's see. IMDb user SagaMartha1 has to say, just awful. Horrible dialogue, zero premise. Stereotype squad as far as characters concerned. You fucking got him.
Clever.
Got him, Saga Martha 1. Anyway, Saga Martha? Who the fuck cares? In particular, the Asian character, quote-unquote, which was obviously a laughably cynical afterthought, and the boomerang Joe or Pete, I didn't care. I mean, come on. Will Smith seemed embarrassed or wincing delivering his lines. Hard to tell. And as for Jared Leto's over-the-top, indulgent acting... sheesh. Yeah, I think I completely agree with that. I think I completely agree with this.
I think more people need to use the word sheesh.
Sheesh, that's true. Sheesh. Jared Leto, sheesh.
I have to pretend to be irritated to properly pronounce that.
Yeah.
Sheesh. I can't even do it.
Sheesh. Let's see. This next one is from Rotten Tomatoes user Nolan M., who gave it half a star.
Oh.
And we only kind of have the short little thing that says, quite possibly the worst plot in a superhero movie to date, Suicide Squad is true to its name and makes me want to kill myself. Clever.
Oh, edgy.
Edgy and clever, Nolan M. Edgy and clever. I'll say I didn't have that strong of a reaction to Suicide Squad.
That's true.
I did, like, rage drink while criticizing it for, like, an hour after watching it. Like, I had just, like, a bottle of UV Blue in one hand and, like, a bottle of cherry vodka kind of, like, at the ready. Because for some reason, the person's house I was at only had, like, party alcohol from the 4th of July. So I was just like, can I drink this? And they're like, please, go for it. So I spent, like, an hour, like, drinking my way through processing Suicide Squad. Not out of depression or suicidal reasons. Just out of anger.
Sounds like this movie affected you more than it did me. I felt mostly neutrally.
I was really angry about it. I was physically upset. Also, if you or someone you love has been affected by depression or suicide, please call a hotline. Well, we're on the topic.
And don't watch Suicide Squad.
Don't watch Suicide Squad, apparently. Apparently that's not going to end well. R.I.P. Nolan. Alright, so after After Nolan M, we have IMDb user Fred-Verde. Cute. Cute. Now I'm excited. Storyline. What storyline? Wasted really good characters, literally just threw them in this big pile of crap. The ending was good, because I finally got to go home, watch Netflix, and forget about this horrible, horrible thing. Please do not watch this movie at the movie theater. Not even at home. Just make a new movie in your head and pretend that this one does not exist. Trust me, whatever you imagine gets an Oscar compared to this thing. That's fair.
That movie got an Oscar.
For what?
Special effects. Like makeup effects,
I think. Yeah, I...
Killer Croc. Killer Croc? Is that...
Killer Croc? I don't know.
Is that the Marvel... The Crocodile Man.
The Crocodile Man who slithers in...
Not Steve Irwin. A different Crocodile Man.
I gotta say RIP again. RIP Steve Irwin. If you or someone you love has been affected by stingrays, please call a hotline.
They do have very specific hotlines. I don't know if there's a stingray hotline.
There should be. You know, like, hey, I'm dying from a stingray. What do I do?
I think it's pretty quick. I think you just...
That's why you need to have the hotline number.
That's true.
You gotta...
You can't wait around.
That's true. But yeah, that's upsetting. There's a whole big thing about them getting an Oscar for that, right? Because something else with more elaborate effect makeup had come out that same year. And there were audiences in general were like, what the fuck? I don't remember what that was. I just remember seeing Harley Quinn's face next to a much more elaborately made up face, effect wise, and having people go, what the fuck? I hope they didn't win it for Harley Quinn's makeup. That's my hope. Now we have a review, a very short review, from Rotten Tomatoes user, the one and only Ray, who gave it half a star, again. And the only thing that the one and only Ray has to say is, this movie gave me every kind of cancer to ever exist. Which I feel is an overstatement.
I feel that's probably true.
I feel even as a ridiculous thing to say, there's no way it gave you ovarian cancer, the one and only Ray. I'm gonna have to give Suicide Squad that one, that it can't inject ovarian cancer into a man. Or, if this person is a woman, cannot inject prostate cancer into a woman.
That's a good point.
So...
That's not medically accurate.
One Suicide Squad, zero, the one and only Ray.
Yeah,
poor viewer of Suicide Squad, I think, is what we've come away with. You either are resorting to the word sheesh, are suicidal, are creating illusions in your head, or are contracting cancer, as these reviews have shown us. This is what you get for watching Suicide Squad. Tread lightly.
Apparently. All right, well... It's been great talking with you about film school, movies, and Suicide Squad.
And cancer.
And
apparently.
Cancer.
Stingrays, that one. Stingrays. That one time.
That's true.
That throwback to stingrays.
All right, well, good talking with you. And listeners, well, until next time, everybody.